This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين بعثه الله شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. I think the reason why the Sheikh is asking me is because I used to give khutbas here monthly before the Sheikh became the Imam. But now he's our Imam. And we have to conform to what he says. Al-Imamu Junnah yuqatilu min waraya, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your Imam is your shield. Right? And you stand behind him. Our Sheikh, may Allah Azza wa Jal preserve him. As you guys can see, brothers and sisters, I don't think this needs to be spelled out. Wallah, I tell brothers and sisters all the time, the Masjid Furqan here in Manchester has become like the Masjid Green Lane in Birmingham. And that is due to a number of reasons. Number one, as the Sheikh mentioned, look how many people pray here for Fajr, right? A lot of the masajid is just maybe, what, one row, two rows. Masjid is packed. The Fajr reflections that happen, subhanAllah, I did it once. I was fortunate enough to be doing it once in the past and I was absolutely shocked by the numbers. SubhanAllah. Right, I remember when I did the khutbah a couple of months ago, we had to do two jum'as. We had to do two jum'as in a big masjid like this. They shocked me after, they said, oh, you have to do another one. And I was absolutely mentally and physically exhausted. Right, also my brothers and my sisters, when you look at, and this is what I really like about a masjid, hence why I keep coming back. They have a very, very good media team. People think that I have a contract with Masjid Furqan. No, I don't. I don't have a contract with Masjid Furqan, but because, you know, they take care of the content, they put it out. And as someone who is a speaker, who tries to convey knowledge, you want the knowledge to be recorded so it could reach maximum people, if that makes sense. And a lot of work goes into it. Those who came to the university lecture, and Allahumma barik, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless them with excellence. There was a lot of youngsters that came today, and they had a Discovery Islam Week. And they asked me to speak about da'wah. I told every single one of them to get involved. And it had nothing to do with the masjid here. Right? Sheikh just asked me literally right now. They said, it's Discovery Islam Week. Encourage them to get involved in spreading the deen, brothers and sisters. And I gave the example of the rainbow team. Right? And this isn't me not inciting violence or anything like that or harassment, just in case someone wants to take what I say out of context. Why is it that they've become the loudest when you compare them with anyone else? Why, brothers and sisters, are they so loud on social media? Whenever they want to acquire rights, right, they make sure they get them rights. It is simply because they are actively involved. Even though they're a minority, they're a raindrop compared to everyone else. However, they are the loudest. And that is because each member is playing a role in spreading that which they stand for. So we have to be actively involved, my brothers and my sisters, to learn our religion and then to spread it. And that normally, right, blossoms from the masjid, when you think about it. How many youngsters are learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid? How many hufad has this masjid generated? Right, I honestly, wallahi, tell everyone, even abroad, they ask me about Masjid Furqan. These videos that you see going out, don't think, brothers and sisters, it's a simple task. Right, it's always the speaker that gets all of the plaudits. The guy who is being recorded and giving the da'wah. A lot of you guys don't know how much work goes into it and how much money is spent. Like, I pay from my own pocket, my brothers and my sisters, to the editor. All these videos that you see going around on Instagram, it costs. The easiest thing is to just record, to sit in front of the camera. That's the easiest thing. We have Muhandis, who works, you know, subhanAllah, all the time. I know the stress that he goes through. I can see from his face. Huh? A lot goes into it, my brothers and my sisters. It's not an easy task. But when you tell people to do it for free, they'll say, yeah, don't worry, I'll do it. But then after 1 week, it gets tired. I've seen enough people like that. The editor, I make sure I pay him. Even if he said, I don't want money, no, I pay him from my own pocket. Right? So there's a lot of expenses. There's a lot of effort that goes into it. And everyone needs to be involved. When you look at the companions, I asked the brothers in the jami'ah, in the university, how many prophets were there in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They got confused. A lot of them got scared of the question. They thought, what's this guy talking about? Huh? And then I explained to them what I meant by this. There was only one prophet. Right? And there were so many companions who had different roles in the community. Not everyone was like Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who was the one that narrated the most hadith of Abu Huraira? It wasn't the four khulafa, al-Rashideen, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. They weren't part of it. They weren't part of the top five who narrated the most hadith. Abu Huraira was very poor. He was taking in all of that knowledge, and now we see the fruits of that which he memorized and that which he attended. Abu Bakr, Allah blessed him with wealth. Uthman likewise. They would help the da'wah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi in different ways. Right? If you think that you are not the person who can speak or convey, maybe Allah Azza wa Jal opened another door for you. So think about your legacy. Right? Wallahi, there's a brother who went on Umrah with us, 18 years of age, guys. After he came back from Umrah, right? He sent a picture in the WhatsApp group with all of the stitches. He had a car crash. And I messaged him privately to just kind of, you know, make him feel good. A week later, we get the message that he passed away. 18 years of age, brothers and sisters. It's times like that, it makes you think, what do I want to leave behind that can continue as a reward for me after I depart from this world? Wallahi al-Azim, brothers and sisters. It's something that maybe, inshallah ta'ala, we can all try to think about, right? You can see, subhanAllah, this is a masjid that brings the youth together. We know what the youth are doing. I know what the youth are doing. I receive messages on Instagram every single day, guys, of young people who are what? Distraught. They are miserable in their lives. And then I compare them to the brothers who are in the masjid, memorizing Quran, attending the lectures, attending the program, attending the lessons regularly. And I think to myself, subhanAllah, it's because of what? They have that setup around them, right? This is why it really doesn't make sense to me, my brothers and my sisters, when one sees a masjid maybe making a mistake, or maybe they see a masjid doing something that they disagree with, right? The kind of reaction that could be the reason why some of the shabab stop coming to the masjid, brothers and sisters. Wallahi. With all of the shubuhat, the doubts, and the fitan that are out there, right? This child, have you thought about if you disconnect him from the masjid, what could actually happen to him? Our religion is built on weighing the pros and the cons. الدينُ مبنيٌ على المصالحِ في جلبها ودرءِ للقبائحِ فإن تزاحم عدد المصالحِ يقدم الأعلى من المصالحِ. There's so much at stake. Wallahi, there was a brother, subhanAllah. He was a revert. He was actually married to a Somali sister from Holland. He used to come to my classes in Nottingham. Wallahi, he would sit at the front, brothers and sisters. He would sit at the front. He was the one who even recorded some of the classes, voice recording. Pen and paper, taking down all of the notes. Some brothers who lack wisdom, right? Because I didn't agree to some of the things. This is back in 2014. I didn't agree to some of the things that they were saying. They wanted me to throw off a particular sheikh. But I said, guys, I don't know. I said to them, I don't know. So they cancelled the lessons. You know what happened to that brother who used to sit in the front? He was so enthusiastic. He had so much eagerness to learn. Right? He was just looking for any classes. Wallahi, he went to extremists. Wallahi, he went to extremists. And I'm talking about guys who were wanting to go abroad. Right? And this brother was eventually caught by the police for trying to make a bomb. Or some, you know, instructions of how to do it and so on and so forth. And he got thrown into prison. Even though he was coming to the classes. But after the classes were cancelled, because of these brothers, over these petty things, I don't agree with you. You need to make your mawqif clear. As we hear all the time, you need to make your stance clear. Right? And that's what ended up happening. So I just want you guys to really, you know, appreciate having a masjid where shabab and the youth come together, right? And now take this out of the equation. Let's just say, you know, argument's sake, there was no masjid like this. You as a youngster who has become so attached to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, what would you do? It could be no different to all these youngsters who tonight are going to be partying, Friday night. Friday night, guys. Friday night, we know what they're doing. But Allah bless you guys to sit here. Chose you guys to be sitting here in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sorry guys, I just went a little bit on there. I didn't know this question was going to be asked, but for the Sheikh.
MashaAllah, Jazakumullah khair.
Is that part of the hot topics question?
Yes, just hot to begin, definitely yes. Okay. And brothers, you've just heard, and also sisters, you've heard what Mutami has said. All of us need to be involved, inshallah ta'ala. Tonight, you should not leave the masjid without having the intention of contributing financially towards the masjid and getting ajr for this, bi'inillah ta'ala, sadaqa jariya, bi'inillah. And so we're going to begin with the questions right now. And the first question is going to be a nice, easy question for the Sheikh. Sheikh, recently you went to the States for the first time. And we want you to share with us, like, some of the amazing experiences that you've had while you were visiting the States. And we want you to also let us know, like, which state was your favorite state while you were there? What were the amazing experiences?
Minnesota was my favorite state, Minnesota.
That's where all the Somalis are, isn't it?
They say the biggest Somali population after Mogadishu is Minnesota.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I guys, I'm being serious. My favorite state. I went to 8 states in 12 days. I took 5 flights in 6 days, right?
Wow.
But my favorite state, honestly, brothers and sisters, was Minnesota. Wallahi, I'm being dead serious. And I know someone's going to take this clip and put it on TikTok and it's going to get, you know? Allah hidikum. Ala kulli hal, I'll tell you guys why. Even though the program that we planned to do in the masjid, and this was a big masjid, much bigger than this one, even had like a basketball court inside of the masjid building, it can maybe take over 2,500 people, right? But everybody underestimated how many people would turn up. Wallahi, brothers, I was told by them eventually that 7,000 turn up. 7,000. And this is why the whole area shut down. Ambulance couldn't get in. Some of the sisters passed out because of how hot it was. They couldn't open the windows. Even though the boys or the men's class was, it was meant to be both for both men and women. But because it got so packed out, we had to kick the brothers out. The brothers left. And subhanAllah, the whole masjid was just packed with sisters. Right? We initially thought that no sisters would turn up. Brothers actually, in the beginning, said we're not going to do a sisters only session. Why? Because liberalism is very widespread in states like that, feminism also. And I thought maybe because of this conservative, controversial guy who has a wonderful time with feminists on Twitter all the time, because of that, maybe they wouldn't turn up. Ala kulli hal, the fact that they decided to leave their homes and to come to the masjid, that's what really made me feel great, wallahi. Even though we couldn't have the programs that we did, but because they all came, they showed that eagerness to learn, wallahi, that was my, you know, my favorite thing out of everything that I saw. And I was even told, subhanAllah, some of these sisters who came to the masjid with hijab, with abaya, some of them don't even wear the hijab and the abaya because of their TikTok accounts, right? They're mutabarijat, like online, they don't wear it. But that day they came to the masjid, right? That day they came to the masjid wearing the hijab. Isn't that khair, brothers and sisters? You know, fact that they actually left whatever they were doing and they came to the masjid and they packed out the house of Allah, right? Even the brother said to me, there are always people who give problems to the Wadat Yal in Minnesota, right? But that just clearly showed them that there's still a lot of khair, right, within our Muslim brothers and sisters, especially our Somali brothers and sisters, you know, over there. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless them.
Ameen.
And I just want to point out, because I've seen Somalis coming out and referring to the Minnesota Somalis as Zumalis because of what they saw. I tell you guys to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not call yourself names. يعني, don't give each other these bad names, you know. We need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. We need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. Mistakes happen. There are shortcomings and so on and so forth. Naam. Tawadha, Shaykh.
MashaAllah. What was the difference between the youth over there and the youth over here in the UK?
Well, honestly, brothers, when I was leaving to America, I didn't think many people would turn up. Because whenever we think America, and I'm sure Shaykh will agree with me on this, we think that, or we have this thought about Americans that they're all liberals, they're all feminists, and they're all sympathetic and empathetic towards gays and homosexuals. That's what we think. And I even mentioned in a podcast that we had in Minnesota, you can't actually blame the Brits for that. When you have some of their prominent figures coming out and supporting the first female Playboy magazine model or whatever, you think to yourself, "Akhi, if that's the leader, then how about everyone else? What do you expect from everyone else?" But like I said to the Americans, we British people got it wrong. Wallahi, we got it wrong. To see thousands and thousands of Shabab coming to the masjid, even Ohio, subhanAllah. Huh? The security guard would walk in and he starts, you know, loading his gun behind me. Huh? Wallahi, it was an experience, Ohio. It really, really was. Police walked in as well. And I'm just like, what's going on here? But it's normal for them. But they were like, what's going on here? So for all of them to come, you know, thousands of Shabab. It was the biggest masjid I've ever been to in Ohio. I've never been to a masjid that was that big, where I would look at the last guy and I can't see how he looks like. And he was wide and very long as well. And that was three floors. Over 4,000 people turned up. Right? So the Shabab over there, yani, I think they've literally had enough of this soft type da'wah. They just want to be told what is right and what is wrong. We are tired of going around the bush. That's what it seems like to me. The fact that they came to a person like me, right, with all the views that I have and, you know, alhamdulillah, none of my videos get taken down though, because we have disclaimers at the beginning, huh? That was written by the solicitors. Allahu Akbar. Ala kulli hal, this is the reality of the matter, guys. They just want to be told what is real. They like realists. And they applauded for that, right? Even though I would say that they're a little bit more far behind from practicing the deen than the people that we have here in the UK. Here they're a lot more practicing, right? They're a lot more connected to the masajid. But yeah.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. The next question says, how can I rid myself of laziness and a lack of motivation?
It's a very good question. How can I rid myself of laziness and also a lack of motivation? I want you all, inshallah ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, if you feel like that, to take a pen and paper and to write down what some of your objectives are. What are some of the things that you are trying to accomplish? Right? If you're someone bila hadaf, without an objective or without a goal that you're trying to accomplish, you just wake up every day, huh? Sitting around, wasting your time, looking to just pass time, if that makes sense. Have goals and have ambitions. If you don't, you will be like I just mentioned. Write it down. Sometimes when writing something down, my brothers and sisters, it tends to what? Really push you. As opposed to when you're just sitting around and you're just having these thoughts, huh? Of what you want to do, this false hope, I call it. No. Secondly, my brothers and my sisters, and this really, really works, brothers and sisters. Be someone who adheres to a dua. Right? Ya Allah, give me strength. Ya Allah, allow me to do X, Y, and Z. We are nothing without doing isti'ana billahi azza wa jal. Even Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi has a statement. I hope, inshallah, I can mention it from the top of my head. He says, "Man ista'ana billahi azza wa jal, walazama al-istighfara wajtahad." Right? Then he goes on to say, "Fala budda an yu'tiya Allah azza wa jal ma lam yakhtur bi bal." Something along the lines of that. Whoever now seeks the aid of Allah and he works hard and he sticks to saying astaghfirullah, 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 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give him that which the mind can't imagine. Right. How many are we on? Two or three? Two. Number three, my brothers and my sisters, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ عَمَلٍ شِرَّ وَلِكُلِّ شِرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٍ. There's always a period in your life where you're extremely, you know, exuberant, excited, you have the energy, you have that determination, you have that drive. Right? You're extremely, extremely zealous about carrying out certain acts of worship. You will do more than the obligatory acts. But then there is a period that may follow where you get a bit laxed, lethargic, lazy. Right? So in that case, what do? You take a step back and you stick to the fara'id. You stick to the obligatory acts, you continue with that, and then slowly, slowly you start building up again. Does that make sense? Number four. Allah says in the Quran, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Sheikh Kamil, Surah Hud. No, I want the one وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. يَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِدْرَارًا وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. نعم. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Right? Quoting Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, right? When you are someone who does istighfar, astaghfirullah, 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 and also repenting to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah will send down, يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send down the rain in abundance for you. وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. And then likewise, He will give you strength above the strength that you already have. People sometimes ask, how is it that so-and-so can do all of this in such a short space of time? First and foremost, say, Allahumma barik. And secondly, the istighfar really, really has an impact on an individual. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. It could be that you're driving. It could be that you're walking. The dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal really, really has an impact on you. Right? Earlier, I quoted a very powerful statement of Malik ibn Dinar when he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ قَسَاوَةٍ فِي قَلْبِكَ وَوَحَنًا فِي بَدَنِكَ. When you begin to feel that your heart is hard and you are weak in your body, the weakness here is not speaking about someone who didn't eat properly. No, you had your three meals. You had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But as you guys are aware, sometimes we feel this weakness. We don't want to do anything. And then he says, وَحِرْمَانًا فِي رِزْقِكَ. Also, you find that your rizq is become what? Hard to come your way, يعني, is becoming very tight. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ تَكَلَّمْتَ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِيكَ. Then know that you have spoken about something that doesn't concern you. There's a type of weakness that comes. There's a type of weakness that comes, my brothers and my sisters, right? Of when we do certain acts. And then there's a strength as well that comes when we do certain acts. And one of them is istighfar. So just sit away from your phone and start doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that make sense?
MashaAllah, JazakAllah khair. This question comes from one of the sisters. And the sister is saying that I have fallen in love with a brother, but this brother is a drug dealer. He's a drug dealer, yeah? And I want to get married to him. And whenever I tell him to come off this lifestyle that he's in, he always disappoints me. And I'm truly, truly in love with him. What advice do you have for me, Sheikh? A sister who's trying to be righteous, falling in love with a brother who's not in selling drugs, you know, he's in the streets. So what advice? She said, I'm really, really attached to him, you know, too close.
First and foremost, you should do marriage counseling with Sheikh Muhammad Ali. That's number one. Number two, my beloved brothers and sisters,
yes.
I want you guys to look at the big picture. Today I gave a khutbah in Preston, and one of the points that I tried to highlight and really emphasize, because I was giving the khutbah about parenting, and there was a lot of shabab there. There was a lot of young people there. And a lot of the time when you speak about parenting, the child or the young person switches off. Oh, that doesn't concern me. I'm not married. The smart and intelligent individual starts preparing from now. He's not married. He starts preparing from now, how he wants to conduct himself around his child. Right? From now. You could be 16, 17, 18. What do I mean by that? The whole khutbah was about that we need to nurture our children. We need to have a relationship with them. And most importantly, we need to embed within them al-Islam. How can you do that if you don't know about the deen? If we as a generation don't know, my brothers and my sisters, what do you expect from the next generation? I gave a lecture not so long ago on Christmas. And I remember I concluded a lecture with, brothers, if you don't learn your religion right now, don't be surprised tomorrow that Jama' and Muhammad and Guled tomorrow are holding a Christmas tree and walking into the house. And you're saying to them, Jama', what are you doing? And he says, ah, but what? What's the problem? And that's simply because he doesn't know. Right? We're already seeing it with our kids. And because they don't know, they bring a whole load of baggage to the house. All right? So the shahid, my point is, my sister, you want to get married to this drug dealer. How do you expect your children to turn out? You know, we hear about the hadith all the time, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every newborn is born upon the fitrah. But the parents, they turn him into a Jew. The parents, they turn him into a Christian. The parents, they turn him into a Majusi. You may look at this hadith from the apparent and think, okay, it's only limited to these three. لا يا مشايخ. It could be that the parents turn the child into a drug dealer. It could be that the parents now turn him into someone who's addicted to films. And that is because the child, all he sees is what his parents do. Right? They wake up to, you know, the house being a drug bath. Huh? This is how they grow up. And they hear, oh, my dad's been drug dealing and he's still drug dealing. And that's what's beautified in his eyes. My sister, you are in love with this guy. Tomorrow, he will get shifted, right? Tomorrow, he will be imprisoned. How do you wish to live your life after that? Huh? How do you wish to live your life after that? This excitement only, what, lasts for a little while. You get married, that excitement dies down. Just ask your parents. Does the Sheikh, do you agree, wala?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Sheikh might get into trouble if he says something, you know? No, but you know, I think everybody understands what I'm talking about. Yeah, married men, you guys have an idea, huh? You don't have that same excitement, should I say. I think that's how I should word it. There's always excitement, you know. She has to keep on their toes and you as well. And but you guys understand what I mean. The excitement, I want to, you know, and it's going to be all rosy and whatever have you. Guys, that's a myth. That is a myth. Then the reality comes up. Huh? You will be waking up to morning breath. Mm. It's a different person that you have to deal with. Mm. The akhlaq of that person starts coming out. My sister, if this individual can't adhere to the commandments of Allah, you think he's going to adhere to the commandments of you?
No.
He's going to respect you and he can't respect Allah Azza wa Jal? No. Think about that for a moment. Right? Think about that for a moment. And also another important point I wanted to mention. Things completely crossed my mind. Ala kulli hal, my sister. Yes, it's a very important point. I speak to drug dealers all the time. Not like that, guys, huh?
Okay.
Not like that.
Okay.
Not like that, guys. Wallahi, you know what drug dealers say to me? Even though he has a girlfriend, he has a side girl, he has this girl and that girl and whatever have you. You know, he says to me, you know, I have all these girls, but they're not Khadija material. He goes, look how easy she came to me and I'm just playing around with her, but she came so easily, tomorrow she might just go to another guy so easily as well, you know, so I can't. Huh? Because now you're having a relationship with him, my sister. نصيحة لوجه الله عز وجل. Don't think he's ever going to look at you as a wife material. Tell him to go straight to your dad. Sometimes we look at the issue of wilaya, of the wali as, oh, he's trying to control me. Wallahi, my sister. There is a bigger role to play than what you think. When he sees now, oh, she disrespects all of her male guardians and she disrespects her brother. My brother's like this. You know what? I can just, you know, if I mistreat her, who is she going to go back to? I've got her, khalas. May Allah bless you guys.
Ameen, inshallah. Sheikh, just moving on from there, what advice do you have for someone who's into drug dealing right now or someone who's thinking about becoming a drug dealer? What advice do you have for those brothers who are trapped in that lifestyle? What would you like to say to them?
Again, one of the things that drug dealers mention to me all the time, brothers and sisters, we've got the cars, we have the money, we have the women, however, we are spiritually dead, spiritually empty, right? Driving around, nice cars, but the guy is so miserable inside, right? There's another way or another angle that drug dealing can be looked at. Do you know how many lives you're ruining? Has that ever resonated with you? How many lives are you actually ruining? You are the cause of people's minds becoming so corrupted. Huh? Imagine that for a moment. And being the cause of people becoming addicted. Ruining people's minds and ruining people's bodies. And it's all on your scale of bad deeds when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Right. I've never seen a drug dealer becoming successful. Never. And I know a lot of them, guys. This is just this one point here. The fact that he goes to sleep empty. Some of them might even like what? Cry themselves to sleep. And that's more of a punishment than anything else. You can be thrown into prison. But the fact that you're dead inside, all that guilt, all that sadness, and that money can't actually give you that happiness that you thought you could maybe acquire. I'll tell you guys something else, which you're not going to find in the books. Haram money goes very, very quickly. Haram money, right? Goes very, very quickly. As opposed to that which might be little, but it was halal. No more comment on that. And for the shaykh.
Subhanallah.
Don't ask me how I know as well.
Okay. Inshallah. The next question, Sheikh. What's considered maintaining family ties of kinship?
Well, this is something that goes back to, because I think the questioner realizes though that I need to keep good ties with my family,
yeah.
Right? How do I keep good ties? Is that what they're saying?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Yeah. I think this is my brothers and sisters, something that goes back to urf. There are certain things that we have been instructed with in the Quran, for example, like being dutiful to our parents, honoring our guests, keeping ties with our relatives, right? However, it hasn't been specified exactly how you should do that. And this is when the application of urf comes in, which means customs. The poet, he said, وَالْعُرْفُ مَعْمُولٌ بِهِ إِذَا وَرَدْ حُكْمٌ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ الشَّرِيفِ لَمْ يَحَدْ. You act upon the urf, you act upon the customs of the people, if the shari', the legislator, hasn't specified it. This is a legal maxim, قواعد فقهية, for those who are interested in it. Like, we've not been told exactly how you honor your guests. I believe, Ya Sheikh, and tell me if you disagree, right? That today when you bring your guests over, part of honoring them is to give them the Wi-Fi password the moment they walk in.
Yes. Yes.
That wasn't maybe something back in the day. Today, Wi-Fi password, they need it, you know, because you're going to use all your data. And there's not always best connection in where you go. You need to give them that fiber optic Virgin Atlantic.
Yes.
Or is it Virgin? Virgin Atlantic is the... Fahimtum ya jama'a. That's just one example. So it's something that goes back to the custom of the people. It may well be that many of our relatives today, if you just video call them for a couple of minutes, akhi, that means the world to them because they understand how busy people are. Mm-hmm. Right? Even though before it was a lot more difficult, you had to go and visit them. But today people are more than happy. Like when I call my mother on video call, right? She loves it. Huh? Means a lot to her. And likewise, some of my other aunties, I video call them, subhanAllah, Allahu Akbar, you called. Huh? And that, you know, it's like months of, you know, ziyarah, this, that, maybe one video call. But it differs from time to place and the customs that one may follow and so on and so forth. Yeah?
MashaAllah, Jazakallah khair, Shaykhana. And it's getting late. And the brothers, I'm sure, alhamdulillah, they have enjoyed your presence. And the question that I would like to ask you right now with regards to the youth that we have, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of youth with us right now. What are the practical advice you would like to give to any youth who wants to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He normally doesn't pray salah. He has come to the masjid tonight, maybe for the first time. And he wants to kind of like improve his life and be a better Muslim. So what advice, practical advice do you have? He doesn't want to go back to his lifestyle. He wants to change. What advice would you like for him, please?
Very good question. My brothers and my sisters, I want you guys to understand that if you take 1,000 steps away from Allah Azza wa Jal, you only need one step to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal. 1,000 steps away from Allah Azza wa Jal. You've become the worst of the drug dealers, or the worst of the people. You are a sister. who's exposing her beauty on the world wide web, selling herself for a monthly subscription on some of these very well-known apps, right? It only requires one step for you to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? One step, brothers and sisters. For you to put an end to that, Ya Allah, forgive me. I want to change my life around. It doesn't matter how bad you've become, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter. That door of repentance is open. Allah says in the Quran, and if there is one verse or the verse that shows the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's when Allah Azza wa Jal said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Say to them, O Muhammad, my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives all sins. I see sometimes, subhanAllah, tweets where people are saying, you know, I've indulged in so much sin, I'm contemplating suicide. I feel like there's no hope for me. Right? Did you guys see the video that went round, I think in the last 24 hours, where I was in Finsbury Park Masjid and I was talking to the youth? Brothers and sisters, once upon a time I had a helicopter chasing me. I said it before.
Yes.
Wallahi, there was a helicopter chasing me. And don't ask me why. Right? Even if you look at some of the companions, my brothers and my sisters, right? They were carrying out the worst of sins. Imagine now, my brothers and my sisters, women going around the Kaaba, naked. Actually, don't imagine it. Huh? Some of the female companions, they used to what? Go around the Kaaba naked. Right? Subhanallah. But when they embraced al-Islam, clean slate. At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu. You repent from Allah Azza wa Jal. You repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Sincerely, got no more. Inshallah ta'ala, you know, sins has been erased. So remember that, brothers and sisters. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمَ, and then stay steadfast on that. You have the month of Ramadan that as an opportunity, as a lifeline that Allah Azza wa Jal throws away. The scene has been set. The doors of Jannah have been swung open and the doors of hellfire have been slammed shut. And the shayateen have been locked up. It is the stepping stone that we may be looking for. There are certain individuals who start practicing in the month of Ramadan. And then you got people saying that, Ramadan Muslim. She only wears hijab in Ramadan. اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's a stepping stone that many want to, you know, step on in order to become better. The month of Ramadan. There's that kind of person, but then there's another person, and this one is blameworthy. He only stops because it's Ramadan. But then in the last 10 nights of his planning, which hotel to sleep in, which shisha bar to go to, which woman to hang around with, hadi musibah. On the most honorable and best nights of the year, people are planning how they want to disobey Allah Azza on the day of Eid.
Subhanallah.
Even Ka'b ibn Malik, he said, man sama Ramadan wa huwa yuhaddithu nafsahu annahu idha kharaja minh, asa Allah Azza wa Jal fa siyamuhu alayhi mardud. Whoever fasts in a month and he's telling himself that when I finish the month of Ramadan, I'm going to disobey Allah, the fasting will be thrown in his face and rejected. Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? That's very, very important. The door of repentance is open. Right? Use the month of Ramadan to embrace new acts of worship, to stay away from these habits, and then stay steadfast on that, inshallah, even on the day of Eid, and you will see what Allah will do for you while many people are disobeying Allah. But you have given that up. You've made a sacrifice.
The next question, Shaykh, Jazakallah khair for that wonderful answer. Can ex-husband just have casual conversation with his ex-wife?
Wallahi, this is so, so common. So, so common, brothers and sisters. Right, they divorced. Huh? It may well be that he is now remarried. Huh? And she's remarried as well. But they're chitting and chatting with one another. Like it's adi. Oh, he's my ex-husband. If the husband says that, what are you doing? Oh, my ex-husband. Akhi, the fact that he has an ex, it means khalas, he's exed. Huh?
Yeah.
You need to put a big X on his name. And your conversations, if needed, because somebody might say, oh, there's kids between us. It should be extremely, extremely limited. She's not halal for you. She's like any other lady that you see now. That is not halal for you, unless of course you have a marriage contract between you both, which you can't because you're married now, my sister. Right? SubhanAllah. Even non-Muslims, you see them discussing amongst themselves, wallahi, how is it that my husband is saying to me, I can't have male friends? This is what? This is the discussion they're having. This person is going over the top. No, he's not going over the top. Right? Number one, we have what? Laws that we need to abide by. Allah Azza wa Jal gave us rules and regulations. And then secondly, where's the respect? Where is the respect? Unless there is a need, okay, pertaining to the kids. What time are they coming? Right? And even then, it may well be that he could go through someone if he needs to get a message across to you. He could send a message now through the children if they're old enough, or through a brother or whatever, and an agreement can be made, or a WhatsApp group which has a mahram in there. But that's just casually getting on the phone and then one thing leads to another. Right? There's a video that I have online, because what I'm mentioning now, you may think, oh, this guy is being a little bit extreme, he's out of touch with reality, he's a little bit backwards. Okay, no problem. You know what this video is called? Cheating husbands, filthy fathers, and free mixing. In this video, my brothers and my sisters, all I did was read out first-hand experiences of victims. Victims of what? Victims of freemixing. A lady that would open her door for couples to come in, you know, husbands and wives, couples to come in to have innocent chit-chats over food or tea. The lady who invited them is in the kitchen cooking, huh? Or getting the tea ready. And then her husband is upstairs committing haram with one of the ladies she invited.
SubhanAllah.
And then the lady, you can find all of these articles on Islam Q&A. I just took it from there. First-hand experiences, victims. And as they're writing, wallahi, it breaks your heart. What does it boil down to? It boils down to what? Not carrying out the commandments of Allah. Very simple, basic knowledge that you may not necessarily have acted upon. Right? And then she's talking about how she can't forgive her husband. And she's heartbroken. She's thinking about divorcing. And she can't live with herself. The fact that he's done this. Unfortunately, this is the reality. Right, can you see how ilm, my brothers and sisters, knowledge saves us in this dunya and likewise the hereafter? Some people think ilm is a career path like mathematics or engineering. We need ilm to survive. You can't function in this world or navigate and maneuver without knowledge. Otherwise, look at this miskina who's now suffering. Ilm is very, very important, guys. Right? We can't function without it.
Jazakallah khair, Shaykhara, for that wonderful answer. And finally, this is going to be the final question. Just a general advice for our brothers and sisters who are present here tonight. And after that, we will conclude it, inshallah ta'ala. What would be your final advice, bi'inillahi ta'ala, to our brothers and sisters who came out tonight?
I'm going to read out a question that a brother sent to me, inshallah ta'ala. If I may, Sheikh.
You know, yes. Yeah?
Here the question says, Ustaz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope you're well. This is your brother in Islam. And then he mentioned his name from Manchester. Inshallah, today you're going to have a hot topics lecture at Al-Furqan. And I wish you could answer the question about maqamat. It has confused a lot of the young brothers. Jazakallahu khairan. I hope to see you today, inshallah ta'ala. My brothers and my sisters, you know there are issues in our religion which some of the great mountains of our deen have spoken about, and it may well be that they have differed upon, right? Of course, we have fundamental aspects of our deen, and then you have that which branches off some of these fundamentals or issues that are subsidiary, if that makes sense. A big problem that I think we have here is not knowing how to deal with someone who may differ with us on an issue or a judgment call, right? And what this brother is referring to is what was maybe being discussed before the Maghrib. Was it Isha prayer? Right? There are scholars that have taken certain views on that particular matter, right? And even when I had a discussion with the Sheikh, he says, I respect the opposing opinion. Right? A brother called me not so long ago and he said, okay, this issue of maqamat. I said to him, Ya akhi, harrir al-khilaf. Do tahrir of the khilaf. What does that mean? Sometimes when we discuss a particular matter in our religion, we have to agree on certain aspects. What is agreed upon that is correct or allowed, and what is haram that has been agreed upon. And then you have that which is what? Nuqtatun niqash. Right? Mahallun niza'. What is it that we are now needing to discuss so we don't conflate the issues that have been agreed upon when we continue in our discussion? This is very, very important. You learn this in fiqh. Otherwise, you're going to be speaking about something, he's going to be meaning something completely different. We need to agree what we agree on. Right? What has been agreed upon by the scholars. There are, of course, a type of maqamat, my brothers and my sisters, where the naghamat, the tone, has been taken from musical pianos, for example, or a particular musical tone. Huh? And then someone now, instead of playing music, he wants to read the Quran like that. فَهَذَا لَا يَجُزْ. Right? This is something that is not allowed. It is muharram. Right? However, like the brother, I think our young brother, who started reading with the Maqam al-Hijazi. Right? How Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub, I'm sure you guys have maybe heard of that. Where they start reading with the Hijazi type of Maqam. And it's not done with takalluf or anything like that. His voice was like that. Someone pointed out to him, oh, this Sheikh reads like that. Huh? And you may want to, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, just perfect it by doing this and then doing that. Right? Hada kaman laysa fi ba's. We have types of maqamat, my brothers and my sisters, and you'll see this very common in Egypt. Where one is, you know how you have mudud, where you stretch 4 harakat or 6 harakat. He's making a 12 harakat. You know, up until his veins come out and the guy looks like he's about to pass out. Huh? Hada shaythani, likewise. Right? And we're not even speaking about that. We are just talking about the issue of if it now is excluded from all of the things that we talked about. And this is something that the scholars, they discuss amongst themselves. Me and Sheikh Muhammad, we were going back and forth, we were having discussions in a civilized manner. We even have a WhatsApp group where you have the du'at in there, where we go back and forth. I love that. Right? Where we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then after that, it's all love. Some of these brothers who write articles, I've invited them to this group, but they refused. And sometimes what happens is when you just see something a certain way, or you do a quick Google search and you come across certain fatawa, and you decide to maybe take that particular view, you don't see the objecting view, or maybe someone who's in opposition to that, and how he would answer. Right? This is why the scholars, they say, الْعِلْمُ بَيْنَ التَّلَامِيدِ. Knowledge is amongst what? The students, they go back and forth, back and forth. You come out with a perspective that you may not necessarily have seen before. Oh, maybe, okay, طيب, he responded like that, then you need now a response. It allows you to expand your madarik, if that makes sense. Right? Having said all of that, my brothers and my sisters, we can differ all day. Right? Me and Sheikh Muhammad, we can sit here and we can discuss this issue, the arguments for and against. However, it's not an aqidah matter. Right? There is a particular way and approach to address these issues. Brothers, as you guys are aware, I go to a lot of masajid. Masajid are not perfect. Right? Masajid are not perfect. It may well be that they make a mistake, or you think they made a mistake. There's a way to approach it. Like I said right at the beginning, you start writing articles confusing the shabab. Think about where that shab is going to go next. But you don't take that into consideration, which is a big mafsada here. Right? Masajid, my brothers and my sisters, does not consist of just the imam. It consists of a whole administration. There are trustees. There are other people that have different perspective on things. That have different ways of looking at things. Which may be different to yours. Right? Inshallah ta'ala, and I want all of you guys to come. Tomorrow, after Isha, I will speak about 10 points in how to establish unity in times of tribulation and fitan. Right? How to remain together. How to, my brothers and my sisters, when we differ with one another, how to conduct ourselves. Right? I want to share something that Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. Right? And this is so beautiful. And you know, sometimes I ask myself, what caused Sheikh bin Baz to be so beloved in the hearts of the people? Even in the hearts of his opponents. Right? People who did not agree with the Sheikh, but they still testify to his imamship. Right? And I want to put another question out. I'll actually leave that question. Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullahi alayhi one time wrote a letter to an individual, to a sheikh called Ramadan Bhuti. And you know what the discussion was about? حول التبرك بالصالحين. Right? Seeking blessings from the righteous. Which is a big issue. It's a big issue. Also, some of the awliya, the saints knowing the unseen. Again, this is a serious matter. To say that the awliya, they know the unseen, which is exclusive to, it's a big issue. And then also celebrating the Mawlid. Right? He sent him a letter from his home. Look how he started the letter. Wallahi, today if someone said this, right? Imagine the kind of response or the refutation that would come out. Maybe the refutation will start as dal mudil. You are a misguided, you are this and you're saying this. And akhi, is your objective to bring that person closer to the deen, to make him understand or to push him away? What is your objective when it comes to giving advice? Look how we started it. Min Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. He didn't even put Sheikh before his name. And look what he says. Ila fadilatil akh al-mukarram al-doktor. Muhammad Sa'id Ramadan al-Buti. Waffaqahu Allah ta'ala. To my honorable brother, who's virtuous, al-doktor. Muhammad Sa'id Ramadan al-Buti. Waffaqahu Allah azza wa jal. He says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أما بعد فقد تأملت ما ذكرتم في رسالتيكم. And then he gives the date. وقد سرني كثيرا حرصكم الله عز وجل أو حرصكم على البحث عن الحق الذي هو ضالة المؤمن. ولا شك أن الحق لا يرتبط بالمذهبية كما أنه لا يعرف بالرجال وإنما الرجال يعرفون به. أما الملاحظات التي استشكلتموها وهي. He says, it has made me very happy and I'm pleased how eager you are to try and follow the truth. Right? And then he said, there's no doubt that the haqq is not connected to what someone holds as a madhab. Right? And likewise, the truth is not known by men, but vice versa. But I just want you guys to just focus on the kind of wordings that he's using now to address the situation. This issue of maqamat, my brothers and my sisters, is no way, right, in the same bracket as these three issues about tabarruk bi salihin. Well, I imagine somebody actually did that. Yani, may Allah Azza wa Jalla protect our sheikh. Let's just say, argument say, sheikh done that tomorrow, the uproar that will happen in the community. Right? Sorry, sheikh, to use you as an example. Have fun. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Right? I always ask myself the question, why, you know, when you look at the students of Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani, they are very, very different to the students of another Sheikh. And we respect Sheikh Rabi' Mithlan, Sheikh Rabi' Al-Madkhali. Sheikh that we, inshallah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive him. But the students that studied with him are very different to the other mashayikh. Why? Why, brothers and sisters? Right? You see refutations being started as you're this and you're that and you're this and you're that and you're this and you're that. This is the way of the Ikhwani, this, Sururi, this, Ikhwani, this, Sururi, this. Let's look at the issues and discuss that. Let's now have a discussion about that. Instead of labeling that this message is like this or this administration and then, kada wa kada wa kada. Right? I always ask myself the question because I've studied with students on each side of the spectrum. And I noticed a big difference. Why I ask myself. You see the students of this sheikh, they're all fighting amongst themselves. But you don't see that with the students of Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh bin Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani. And tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, I'll discuss that in a lot more detail. It made a lot of sense to me later on down the line. And sometimes when we see some of these brothers, they've been hugely influenced by You know, that side of things, if that makes sense. Look at Sheikh bin Baz, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to conclude with this. Look at Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, right? Look what he says, brothers and sisters. وَأَنْتَ تَجِدُ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْمُتَفَقِّهَةِ إِذَا رَأَى الْمُتَصَوِّفَةِ وَالْمُتَعَبِّدَ لَا يَرَاهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَعُدُّهُمْ إِلَّا جُهَالًا ضُلَّالًا. Look what he says. You see a lot of people who start seeking knowledge, right, who are trying to gain an understanding. When they see those, right, who have Sufism with them, right, they see them as absolutely nothing. And they look at them as ignorant people who are all misguided. وَلَا يَعْتَقِدُ فِي طَرِيقِهِمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْهُدَى شَيْئًا. And he sees, subhanAllah, their tariqah or whatever they are following, right, as absolutely nothing. Right? And then look what he says. وَتَرَى كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْمُتَصَوِّفَةِ وَالْمُتَفَقِّرَةِ لَا يَرَى الشَّرِيعَةَ وَالْعِلْمَ شَيْئًا. And then he speaks about those who have Sufism with them. When they look at aspects of the Sharia, they would see it as absolutely what? Nothing. He's speaking about both sides. بَلْ يَرَى أَنَّ الْمُتَمَسِّكَ بِهَا مُنْقَطِعٌ عَنِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِهَا شَيْءٌ مِمَّا يَنْفَعُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And then here comes the sketch. وَإِنَّمَا الصَّوَابُ أَنَّمَا جَاءَ بِهِ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةُ مِنْ هَذَا وَهَذَا حَقٌّ وَمَا خَالَفَ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةُ مِنْ هَذَا وَهَذَا بَاطِلٌ. Because the sawab, the truth is, what is in accordance to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether it might be here or whether it might be there. And whatever goes against the Quran and the sunnah, whether it might be here or whether it might be there, it is what? Rebuked. Allah, the insaf, you know, the fairness and the justice of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi that I've been collecting over the last couple of years, it makes me ask myself the question, don't these brothers read Shaykh ibn Taymiyyah's speeches? And if only we study that, we can maybe what? Find a way to really bring people's hearts closer. Look what Al-Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions about Ibn Hazm fi Sir Alam al-Nubala. Look what he says. وَلِي أَنَا مَيْلٌ إِلَىٰ أَبِي مُحَمَّدٍ لِمَحَبَّتِهِ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ بِالرِّجَالِ وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ بِهِ عَفْوًا. Because I have some sort of inclination towards Abu Muhammad Ibn Hazm, and that is because he loves authentic hadith and he has good understanding of it. وَإِن كُنْتُ لَا أُوَافِقُهُ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِمَّا يَقُولُهُ فِي الرِّجَالِ وَالْعِلَلِ. Even though I don't agree with him on issues of the narrators of hadith. And then he says, وَالْمَسَائِلُ الْبَشِعَةِ فِي الْأُصُولِ وَالْفُرُوعِ. And likewise, his very horrible stances that he has in the subsidiary matters, and likewise the usul, the aqidah of our religion. He's talking about this. I don't agree with him. He's got very, very bad, horrible positions. But then look what he says, وَأَقْطَعُ بِخَطَئِهِ فِي غَيْرِ مَا مَسْأَلَهِ. However, I say this with surety and conviction that he was wrong in these issues. وَلَكِنْ لَا أُكَفِّرُ. However, I don't call him a kafir. وَلَا أُضَلِّلُهُ. And I also don't call him misguided. وَأَرْجُوا لَهُ الْعَفْوَ وَالْمُسَامَحَةَ وللمسلمين وأخضع لفرط ذكائه وسعة علومه. However, I hope that Allah Azza wa Jal pardons and forgives him, and likewise for the Muslims. However, I admit and acknowledge how smart and intelligent he was and how vast his knowledge was. شوف الإنصاف. Right, and I'm going to inshallah elaborate on this بإذن الله تعالى in a lot more detail tomorrow. Our objective, my brothers and my sisters, no matter who he is, I don't care if that person is someone who's cursing the companions. He's an Ithna Ashari. I'm going to find a way now. How can I convince him? How can I now make him understand that this is wrong? Does that make sense, brother? That's how we should be thinking. As for every time I see someone doing something that I don't agree with, I write an article, I come out against him. Look what Sheikh bin Baz, guys, the letter that he wrote to that person. Right? And these issues are big, but look how he's wording it. Right? And then later on, this article was published, and it makes you think, subhanAllah, why Sheikh bin Baz rahmatullahi alayhi was so loved by even his opponents. Sometimes someone who may be considered an innovator would walk into Sheikh bin Baz's sitting, and then he would bring him close, he would make him sit next to him. And then he would advise them. Right? He would advise them. Ala kulli hal, guys, ana atalto alaykum. It's really bothered me when the brother messaged, right? We're never going to agree, right? Especially when it comes to subsidiary issues, it's sometimes open to interpretation and we can have tea together and discuss these masail. However, the option isn't for us to behave erratically, right? Ways where we start boycotting and confusing the Shabab and whatever have you, right? Wallahi, there's people that I've been advising for the last maybe 9 years. I could have boycotted them, 9 years. And he had all sorts of beliefs. Over time, slowly he would leave these things off. It takes time. The Eiffel Tower wasn't built in 1 year, guys. The way the masjid was when I first came is a big difference. How it is now. Does that make sense? It takes time, brothers and sisters. There's a statement of Allah Azza wa Jal when He says, "Wasbir nafsaka ma'a alladhina yad'una rabbahum bil-ghadati wal-ashi." We've all memorized it. We read it every Friday. And I look at this and I think to myself, right? If we don't apply this with the people of the masjid, who are we going to apply on? It is speaking about be patient with those who worship Allah day and night. Well, I only, you know, really resonated with me when I started giving da'wah and started coming in contact with the masajid. Sheikh Muhammad is going to make a mistake because he's a human being. I'm going to make a mistake, guys. We are all going to make mistakes. The idarat of masajid, the administrators, are going to make mistakes. They are going to do what you don't agree with. Right? However, there's an approach. We have to be patient. We have to be extremely, extremely patient in how we conduct ourselves. Otherwise, wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, when you think about it now, with all of the shubuhat, with all of the doubts, people now leaving al-Islam, them being in need of a tawheed, right? Are we now going to start having these inner fights amongst ourselves over issues that can be discussed over tea? Right. Sorry, Sheikh, I've gone, you know.
Allah, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Abu Taymiyyah, mashallah, for answering all these amazing, important questions.